thank goodness you are here. If we're ever going to get out of here alive, we need a time machine. Everything you need's in there.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Now, while this is going on, they're going to start building a time machine. You've got some key questions. You can join in, anyone in the outer circle, you can join in if you want at any point. You can come in, get involved, take over, contribute, ask questions, absolutely fine. And we're going to roll with this for 10 or 15 minutes, then we're going to get into some talk in the inquiry bit, the bit they said I should start with, I'm going to do at the end. All right? Now, I think you've got everything you need here to build a time machine. I've definitely got my sonic sunglasses here, you know, Doctor Who style. Meanwhile, the watchers, I've got some thinking questions for you to start contemplating while...
So is that
TARDIS?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lid thing here, you can just add if you want. I mean, that's how you do. How you go about it.
I like a TARDIS like that, do you want to do
it? No, it's like a good bit.
But the canvas is a TARDIS head.
True,
I mean, you've got stuff on the roof too that could be useful.
Yeah, we need some.
Oh, nice.
Okay. That's just a
headlight. Yeah, we'll see why.
But is that parachute? Because we need to see if we can take us there.
Yeah, of course, that'll give the...
These are for direction.
Is that the methodology?
Yeah, I mean, you can...
Or we can tie the skateboard. Tie it.
I found duct tape useful for pretty much anything. Hence...
So that you can need to use two bits of rope there. So it could be whether you do the situation.
I removed it just now.
What's it for? Why are we here? So before we get to these kind of prompt questions that are leading to the inquiry, what are they imagining it could become, whatever questions you want to know from the time machine, the time team, if you like. It could be about learning, or it could be about the imaginative.
But I think that's part of our supplies that's water.
Now, there's no way you're going to complete this unless you can get it done in 5 minutes. We're five more minutes on this, and then we're going to. I know, but you won't complete it. But you know, that's not the point. The point is, what's your approach? How's it going to be? Where is it going? What's it like? You know.
There's a steering wheel going.
You've got a steering wheel.
Awesome.
Parachute needs to be
Join in at any point if you want to get involved.
Well,
a couple of minutes. Let's see what we got in 2 minutes' time. Right, are we getting to a moment where we can sort of have a wee pause? Just while you're finishing off. First, next step.
Go to the skateboard and do the skateboard.
Thank you so much, that's brilliant. Oh, yeah, is that going to go great? Just grab a seat in the inner circle for a second. Now, thank you so much for being up for it. I haven't done this with big people before. Seven or 8 years last time from special school, so you know, you're gonna have to forgive me. I'm Patrick, by the way. Recently a high school teacher, now I do creative learning, that's what I do. Now, next step, group on the outside. Can you ask questions? Not the questions on the sheet yet, but just a question to the time team.
How did it feel when you started, when you were given the box?
Quite daunting, because there was lots of things there and we didn't really know what we were going to be doing, so I felt quite daunted.
That's quite scary.
I was quite excited. So,
I was a bit nervous because we didn't know each other as a team.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So we didn't know what our thoughts were going to be or what it might look like, so yeah.
Amazing, 10 weeks, that was about 8 minutes work, that's amazing. What about other questions about the actual experience? About the imaginative context, because that's what I'm kind of beginning to tease out behind.
Are you wanting to travel forward or backwards? Are you wanting to travel into the future or into the past?
We didn't know. Mm-hmm. We didn't know where we would end up, whether it would work, so that's why we ended up with the guns.
I like the prepared for any eventuality there. That'd be really good.
So we didn't know where we were going to end up. No. So you started thinking, what did you then...
Worst case scenarios.
Mm-hmm. Stuff going on there, isn't there? Dinosaurs, where did the dinosaurs come in? There's no dinosaurs in the
world. If we're going back in time, that's the worst case scenario. You could end up in dinosaurs.
That was the worst case scenario.
Worst case scenario, aren't we? But you got your weapons there, so you're feeling better about that. What other questions could we be asking of these time travellers?
Can I ask, did anyone particularly take the lead on specific ideas? Did anyone think they were taking the lead?
No, I think it seemed quite collaborative a bit.
Yes,
Actually, that's a bit weird because normally somebody does.
I don't know, I think we were all just like chucking things out.
Because we don't know each other.
We're being very nice.
Yes.
Consensus kind of thing going on. But high level collaborative skills.
To be fair, she's my sister, I've got quite a good idea.
So you built time machines before together.
Did you start with one idea?
I wasn't aware, I was just looking at what we had and then thinking.
Or did we think it was a TARDIS?
That was the first question, was how we were going to get from there.
Who are you going to meet when you go time travelling? Who do you want to meet?
Somebody fun that's got a nice bright parachute.
What are those people going to tell you when you meet them?
Nice. That's
funny.
I have to think of questions to ask them. Oh, what do they think of a time machine landing in their time? Strange people in it.
What are you going to ask them? What are you going to ask the people you meet? Who do you want to meet?
With peace.
With the guns.
Change into water pistols all the time.
Right, and we've started to build a bit of a context there. Now, I put some prompt questions that are going to lead to the chat. And in the group in the middle, you can have a glance at these now. Because what I'm trying to do here is to get us into starting to... And we could... Now, if you want to join the outside of the circle and just make it a discussion, that's fine, stay where you are. So I'll turn it to you. How is this like in a context for learning?
Well, they were learning right from the beginning. You know, the discussions they were having, the way they were collaborating, and the ideas they were sharing was learning right from the start.
Immediately, boom, it was going on. What kind of learnings were going on?
Problem solving. Critical analysis of what if things could be very magical with bad things that are now rivers. So, taking context and changing the context.
Absolutely. What else is going on?
There's assessment that they're given about what was there.
And you weren't bogged, because we had a time limit, we didn't know each other, we weren't bogged down with that on the top dog. There was none of that going on, it was just straight into what we had to do.
They were bringing lots and lots of their prior knowledge to it. Mm-hmm. So they were sharing the TARDIS idea, but all their kind of ideas leading up communicative. Computer and weapon systems, that was bringing all their previous knowledge together.
Okay. Imaginatively, what was going on in terms of building a context, in terms of the more sort of fiction or the...
We're talking to each other all the time, creating a narrative and changing the narrative.
Yes, that's up a story. Yeah. In fact, there was no preconceived idea of what you have to do, so it just came. So rather than saying, but you're going to meet who? Who do you want to meet in the past? Which would have
thrown me.
You start thinking about it, and then some of the learning comes out afterwards when you start to explore it further.
And everybody could participate. It didn't matter whether you're primary, secondary, or whatever else. We all have an idea, probably, about time machine and what it does. So we're able to kind of put something together. So it didn't matter where we came from.
Very good. Based on the social justice, the fact that not one person could control. They actually listened to each other, so it was actually, it didn't matter, you could do it, if you're doing this with young folk, it doesn't matter which background they've come from, it's just getting straight in there, so it's not looking at look who they are.
I think the idea about taking it down to play, actually, is really important, because that's maybe why the hierarchy, and not somebody taking the lead, disappeared, because you were a child again, you were down on the floor equal,
And... There were no issues around differentiation, were there?
No.
You know, it's like we're just doing it. It's like happening, so let's just get on with it. Which, you know, in the kind of the kids I work with is really vital. Still go back to this imaginative, what was going on with the context? Where could we go with this context? That leads to the next question. What sort of where in a classroom we're creating this context, where could we go with it?
Could create a writing from this.
I mean it's got literacy all over it, hasn't it? Mm-hmm. You could go anywhere with this.
In a history class, it could be. Where are we going?
Absolutely.
Scientific, you can see this is our future, how we're going to get there, what things do we need to do to build the future.
And it would only take two or three prompts from a teacher, isn't it, say, where are you going to go into the future? Mm-hmm. Like a tiny little prompt question to just send them, so you may have a little bit of an idea of where you want them to go.
You can keep it very contextualised, talking about gene therapy, how we're going to move that forward, or take it, something else, and keep it tight, but
white. Absolutely. No, exactly. And then that's, as a teacher, you can start narrowing in if you want, or you can keep it wide if that's where you want it to be. Where else could we go with this? And it's starting to link into pedagogies in the classroom.
Well,
suppose imagine what the future's like, you know, in terms of landscape and all sorts of things, and evolution of people and that kind of thing.
Boom, you could get straight into social justice, couldn't you? You've got the power. You could go there and sort out the future. What are you going to do?
Yeah, on a new planet. How do you set up your society and link it in that way?
The kind of philosophy of why guns, why do you need to put guns on it? One of the problems that we've got nowadays, because of the way the exams have changed, to the whole many questions, which are most... They can't cope with it, because you suddenly ask them for their own view and saying that there's not a right answer. You can go anyway. It gives them the chance to actually look at it in a more... get used to that type before they need to really worry about right-handed it.
Absolutely. It's personal, isn't it? It's from them, but you can take it to different places if you want. I mean, I immediately haven't done this yet, but it's just that with the thought you just said about, I'd quite like, I want to go back 100 years and say, what are we going to change? Because at the moment, the world's pretty crappy. So what are we going to do 100 years back that could change? Do what Doctor Who does every Saturday and go and sort out something that could change the difference. Where are you going to go? If it was an advanced, higher group, you could say, right, let's go back historically. Where are you actually going to... What difference are you going to make?
I'm quite interested in the fact that there was so little success criteria, some of the things I think that we might stifle kids with, trying to keep too much control over everything. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Quite like the social learning that's going on. Although you're saying there was no lead, there was somebody coming up with lots of ideas, and then... that's been taken, and it would be really interesting to record it and listen back to the questions you asked each other. Mm-hmm. Because again, that's doing that thing, picking apart. Mm-hmm. What questions do I need to ask of my learning to be able to have an open answer?
I think the main bit there is that because it's not that controlled, I've tried that with some of my classes this year, and it causes no end of grief from managers. You've got no control over your learning in your classes, and then you say, but look at the results at the end. No, but we want you to have them in a structure, and it's that. I think that's the problem. We are restricting their learning too closely.
And look at this: we had four very destructive students here who were fully engaged immediately. You know, and if anybody came in or walked into that, they'd say, "Oh, then there's learning happening. There's no issues around engagement that's going on here." I mean, I did this recently in a special school. In a year, my brief was to cover some RME outcomes. And so I had in my head that we were going to go and visit, meet some people from the past. And so we met, went back to meet them at Cool, and I came in the next week in a kilt, and we told the story of the salmon of knowledge, And so we were getting them into storytelling and then myths, and I was then getting into moral dilemmas, and then the week after we went to see Big Chief Bull Eagle in America, and I told them the creation myth from the Native Americans and got them interested in that, and then gave them a moral dilemma about that, saying, look, here I am, Big Chief Bull Eagle, there's all these people coming, all these white people coming along, and they want to take my land. What should I do? Should I sell my land and my nature? And they wanted me to sell the land and take the whiskey. But you know, they were getting into some quite, and I'm not talking about kids who are in a residential special school for educational behavioural disturbed, they have terrible lives. Well, I have had terrible lives. The school's lovely. But, you know, and they're up for it. They're in it. And that's really where why I come at this like this. Though my background is a high school teacher. I mean, you know, was an English and drama curriculum leader before, so I'm trying to bring that in too. Now, just to go, as we go in, before we move on into what I'm going to yap about, if we went a little bit further and we were going to push this and say this was happening over a period of weeks now, if we were going to push towards outcomes, what would the forms of learning, particularly as we move to learning performances, if you know, you could say everything from an exam as one form of learning performance to a presentation to a story to some kind of a thing, what forms of learning would you want to push into this or form a presentation? Depending on the curricular area that you might find interesting. You mentioned narrative, you've got literacy all over this, you've got story writing. So there's one. Where else could it go?
Use IT and make it an interactive PowerPoint where you've got things coming in and out and conversations, and you can actually capture some of the conversations and have that linked in and add one.
You got IT. And there'd be other IT out.
Oh, absolutely. I'm very limited in IT. Well, what I've got.
You could have filmmaking coming out of this, couldn't you? Using iMovie.
Do you get into social studies where you go to different countries to do a comparison?
So you say, right guys, you're going to tune in your time machine, you're going to two countries, or the same country at two places in time. Immediately you've got presentation work or PowerPoint work or research work, whatever you want to do with that, haven't you? What else?
The history language is ideal for me, but we get them to look at what do they see themselves as being the most disruptive part of the, in history that they can actually change. And that will give them different viewpoints to address the case.
It could be a political agenda or a manifesto they've got to present to say what are they going to do, a set of policies. You know, you could be in quite high level stuff. Even with quite, kids that are not necessarily hugely experienced, you could still be, I mean, I could see that in a primary classroom. What policies are you going to do? What's your, explain what manifesto is? What are you going to do in the past? That could be a learning performance. Sorry.
No, I was just thinking from a kind of pastoral care restorative. I could just see working with particular pupils that I find it hard to socialise things, putting them into a task like that, especially some of them that need to be more active and that kind of thing, that you might actually be able to perform more, help their social skills that they're struggling with because it's a kind of doing, everybody's doing at the same time.
Using a format like this as well, where we're observers, I think there are scope. Kind of PSE in terms of actually picking apart how.
I mean, unpacking this just pedagogically. Last time I did this, I was in character. I would have had my sunglasses on, Trilby or whatever. I would have done this as a character, which I sort of did today, but not totally, because I didn't want to, you know, get too silly. But you know, you could. So that's a coming pedagogy coming from drama, from Mantle the Expert and Teacher in Role. This is actually could be a Socratic debate. Could be form theatre, so you guys could have, I could have insisted that you guys swapped in and changed over. So if this was a whole lesson, you would, I don't think you'd have been able to sit there for that long, probably, before you wanted to get stuck in. And so this could become form theatre. Also could be a Socratic discussion where we then, I asked you the circles to swap, and so you guys to start the conversation from the prompt question, and the inner circle to go out and watch, and then have a meta position on the discussion. Have you ever done it? Some people call it the goldfish bowl. A Socratic discussion where you put a small group in the middle, start the discussion, the people on the outside are watching, have a meta position, but then can intervene, can either ask questions to the inner circle or come into the inner circle. It's almost like a tag team if they can come and sit on a chair and chip in. I've used that with, you know, high level, you know, advanced higher and higher kids, you know, and that's a great way for, you know, deepening the discussion. So actually what I was doing in there was three or four different pedagogies simultaneously that, again, if it was a three-week program, or if I was building this, I would be really developing teacher and role, obviously active learning. Mm-hmm. I had learning intentions, but they weren't that, you're dead right, they weren't that prescriptive yet, because, you know, another day they might be more prescriptive. And I've seen one or two people, I think it was Frogel, who's in the corridor just down the, you know, along the corridor of talking about, it's not necessarily always best to give them the success criteria at the beginning, because you might limit yourself. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that there's not those AFL strategies going on, just means that it's about when and why, and depending on how it goes. So there's a lot going on there. Go on, just take the next step, and then I'm going to give you the science bit. What could this go on towards different outcomes? If we were really going to drive towards outcomes here, what have we got? Now I'm thinking about what we should be doing, big agendas, GERFEC, skills, attainment, what's happening here? What could we push towards?
So I don't think I understand what you're asking.
Like what, from this, from just building a time machine, from what big outcomes are we getting out? And I just say, almost where you started, your comment was, there are lots of skills going on here. So there was one huge outcome here around skill development, isn't there? And funnily enough, I had HMI in at CMAB this week. What they were looking at was the way the creative learning developed skills. I thought they'd be interested in the content and the pedagogy, but they were actually saying, oh, you know, that was skills for work. You know, you realise that.
That then taps into the developing your workforce.
Absolutely. That, that's what I'm getting at, is that because I'm born and bred a high school teacher, when I pull out duct tape, I've still got those big things going on. You know, it's like, what are you trying to get out of this? Like the social studies point, what could we be getting from, starting from time machine, duct tape and recycled everything I didn't want in the house, my son's skateboard he's got on, he's grown out. What big outcome could we be getting from social studies?
You have an understanding of democracy. If you did go back, you can set up your own society and rules, and so that could be your big...
That could be your big outcome. What I'm driving at there is a huge connection in my head between really wacky building in an imaginative context for learning creatively and the hardcore outcomes that HMI want to see that EOS is all about. Right? Coincidentally, the HMI that watched me on Thursday was the one that wrote the new Higgios creativity and employability thing, and she was saying she really liked what we were driving towards. Right.
There's all the executive functioning skills as well, negotiating and impulse control and kind of managing, taking on somebody else's ideas and managing all of that, which is hugely important.
Okay. I mean, I just think creative learning can really take us into different places. Right. So I'll just give you a little bit of background of what this is all about. So we're talking about what is creative learning. Now, I'm actually researching. I'm living this. So I'm a teacher. I was a teacher. I'm now a practitioner. I've run a social enterprise now focusing on creative learning. But I'm still GTC, EIS registered. I still see myself as a teacher, but I'm just a teacher in a different place, in a different way. I was a curriculum leader in Midlothian until recently in the drama. I'm also doing a PhD part-time at Edinburgh, looking at creativity policy because there is a deep, and there's a lot of stuff I'm not going to bore you with now, but there's a heap of stuff going on nationally. There's a creative learning plan, Scotland's creative learning plan. If you haven't seen it, I'd go and have a look at the creativity portal and have a run around. I'm just reviewing it right now. I'm involved in the working group for that. And I just mentioned the policies. The national policy is government-driven and has as much to do with economic policy and skills development as it is to do with what you might think of immediately when you say creativity, arts, culture. That's part of it, but that's only just one bit of it. Just an aside in my research into policy, the national economic plan mentions creativity 76 times. The curriculum for excellence document that mentions creativity most gets to about 5 or 6 per document, all right? And that's sometimes just as an adjective to describe maths investigations should be it's another nice, of course they should, but what I'm getting at is that the idea of creative learning and creative policy is much more central than just arts, all you got on the edge, all right? We've got a report from Ed Scott called if you haven't looked today, it's brilliant, Creativity Cost of Learning 3-18 report. It's a vision of progressive creative education, and it pulls in everything from Bloom's taxonomy that you'll know about to other bits of learning. I'm also putting together what I do in collaboration. I'm part of national networks now, national creative learning networks, working with other practitioners, people like Hidden Giants, and other practitioners through Education Scotland. And part of that is I'm now involved in the National Creative Learning Plan Review Group and set on the Skills and Employability Group. So we're actually looking at how creative learning has a direct impact on skills and employability and how we can take that forward in the next wee while. And clearly, I'm sure it's bedtime reading for you at the moment, New Higgios 4 has got a new quality indicator around creativity. And I was really intrigued to see that it went in with employability, which, again, it's trying to give it credibility. Now, we can unpack that and discuss whether it should be there or it should be another. I think it should be everywhere, but it's definitely... I'm just pleased that it's there right now. So, what do I think creative learning is about? Now, this is my definition based on my thinking and my research that's coming out partly of the research from my PhD and partly from doing it and partly from my experience. This is very much me putting my thoughts on the line.
And I would say straight away, particularly following on from Valerie said, this is work in progress. I'm not presenting this as a conclusion. I'm presenting this as, here's me a year on, this much I know right now, and I'm testing this at the moment. There's one thing that I think creative learning is about learner control. If there isn't learner voice, I don't think it's creative. And I'm finding, and this is quite recent thinking that I've been doing as I've really got into the John Hattie stuff around attainment and visible learning, there is such a correlation in my head between pupil voice as a creative voice and all the other things that are going on around pupil voice and pupil agency that have a direct impact on attainment. And something I'm really thinking about a lot now is how they interrelate, about how pupil voice, creative learning and attainment actually...
I think you're linking really well to what Val said, but what also what the Higgy Four is saying about that it's not about just about pupil voice, it's pupil participation. And if we don't get them engaged, because a lot of them have a voice, but then it's ignored. A bit like teachers, we've got a voice, we're well into research and inquiry, but if your management's not there to actually support it, it's blown out of the water.
Absolutely. I mean, that's why I've got the... Creative learning happens when the pupils have voice and teacher has agency to me. Yeah. They're the premises from which you have to start.
Yeah.
So in a sense, I mean, I could put in other ethical ideas in there. I mean, about freedom, and that's what I tried to put by doing the right thing. I think creative learning is ethical. You have to have an idea of social conscience. You have to be engaged with thinking about what's right and wrong in order for it to have effective creative learning. Just as an aside, first thing they said on my PhD was, go and define creativity. I came back with 19 different definitions. And some of those definitions were actually the beginnings of other definitions. All right? Everything from what I would call, paraphrase as I-creative, you know, the Apple idea of constant innovation, through to extremely Eastern ideas of creativity as just really reinvention. The idea of original, the other meaning of original, going back to the origins of things, which is a very ethical idea of creativity, very much about balance and renewal rather than, you know, almost a Buddhist idea. I have to say, Buddhism and Apple don't always go together. Anyway, I'm not going to go on too much about that. Now, if you haven't encountered creativity, culture and education, I strongly encourage you to encounter them. They've put forward, this is their five habits of creativity. And these are really useful. Education of Scotland has boiled them down to four. I have to say I like CCEs better because they have collaboration in, which I turned into co-creative for, because I do think creativity is always collaborative, even if you're on your own. You're either learning from what came before or you're thinking about your audience. Now, really encourage you to look at CCE. CCE came into being, Ken Robertson, you'll have heard of? It used to be called Creative Partnerships. It was a Blair Third Way thing. That happened. Ken Robertson was behind this. Then the other David Cameron, in his wisdom, withdrew all the funding and the Conservatives came into power. They now exist as an independent organisation. They're really interesting because they were founded in England. They don't work in England anymore. They work globally. Do a lot of stuff in Scotland. Paul Collard's brilliant. Go and find him. All right, check him out. Just put the reference and you'll see the reference on the poster which you take at the end. So, and I'll come back to them in a minute. Now, just a couple of examples. Project Free, and the Storytime Machine. Here's my friends, Free, and Free's a character. Who is at CMAS Special School, Free, that they've sort of conceptualised childhood. They're free, safe, joy, anger. And so my first project was Project Free. And now Free and Safe are in the yurt with me around the fire. We're now doing the Storytime Machine. But the Project Free originally began as an outdoor learning project, because I'm Forest School as well, so we were doing stuff outside around the campfire. We got the best bits of extended writing from them, written up that the HMI loved, all because it began with a marshmallow. So began with them, hooking them out, getting them into the campfire, then we built into a big drama,
with Freeze Island and stuff and big rucksack of cabins and building shelters and so on. And they said, hey, do you want to write a story? Funnily enough, they wanted to write a story because they were already living it, right? And had marshmallows. So. Recent one, Beauclair Academy, I was invited in, Support of Education Scotland, to help devise a creative learning programme. And one of the things they want to do is a team building day. This is what we need is the zombies, isn't it? So we had a big zombie virus day for the whole of first year, got them off timetable. These are their zombie protection suits that they're building. The hall turned into, because it was a terrible weather day, we were going to do it outside with zombie protection shelters, and then we're doing public information broadcasts with iPads in another room. So big outcomes around skills, and actually their brief was they wanted to improve their universal personal support by giving them a mentor, by developing teamwork and relationships between tutors and kids. So clearly I thought, well, we need a zombie spin. But that's just the way my twisted mind works. But it's all about going back to building a creative learning experience that then still has outcomes. And there's a structure that underpins it. Now, other examples, but we haven't got time to go through all of those. Now, why creative learning? I passionately believe the learner should be at the centre. I'm kind of one of the people that believes that CFE rocks, all right? In the original document, just was a vision of progressive learning, and I think that creative learning is reclaiming that idea of the learner being at the centre. There are McKinsey statistics based on PISA, all the PISA bits that people don't want to find out about. And forget the headlines of literacy and numeracy, but there's 10% of our children who we can't reach. They also happen to be roughly the same amount of people in poverty, all right? Probably a few more in poverty. And the learning says, the research says, that it's that 10%, engagement is key. They don't have the, what I call the eat your greens mentality to and get your pudding approach to learning that middle class kids have, where you go through a bit of boring stuff now, you'll get to university and get your pudding then, and you get a good job. Kids who are down from the more disadvantaged parts of the community just don't have that necessarily, because it's not coming through their family assumptions. So therefore, you've got to do stuff like this, or whatever it is next time they do something. All right. Clearly, four capacities we're talking about skills straight away. I think you're getting all sorts of bang for your buck. If I can get four for the price of one rather than just one thing, that's what I want to do. And I've mentioned the high-functioning classroom. This, again, is a reference to CCE and creative partnerships. This is there. Check out the CCE website. Clearly, you get over there, that's where creative learning happens, challenging. I mean, is that challenging, authentic, flexible, workshop, group, high, mobile, centric? It's always, to me, those first 8 minutes of this session, we were over there, all right? There was nothing guided, contrived, bell-bound, static. That was my view, nothing. We just left all that behind within minutes, all right? Hence, what I believe in there. Now, I want to take what I'm doing and create some kind of pattern of theories around it. And this is where what I'm now testing out. This is the outcomes, if you like, of what I'm living now in terms of professional inquiry. This isn't directly what my PhD is about, but this is one of the offshoots, sort of almost combining my PhD work and my practice. So I now break down the creative learning into these four things all around the learner. And then I've embellished them the next step. So, what we were doing there was the context. I just strongly believe that if you build an imaginative context for learning, either through rich questions, like where are you going to go with your time machine? How are we going to solve the problems of today? They're questions you can't help but want to answer. Appropriate to your audience, clearly, your class. Do we need guns? That's an interesting question. We go back to the dinosaurs. Why weapons? Why have you put weapons on there? Get into the rich questions. How you build a context could be anything, all right? It could be doing a drugs lesson using fairy tales. Do you want to buy my apple? It's quite straight into... You create a context out of nothing, all right?
could be about the kids, about their environment. I mean, CMAB, they said, do your lessons in a year, Patrick. There's no space in the school. Yeah, okay. I looked at the earth, bit like a time machine here. Yeah, right. So, whatever. I thought it could be a teepee, it could be a tent, it could be a year, it could be, what is it? So I was really trying to think, what's the experience of the kids? Where am I going to go with that? Right, I mean, clearly we're running out of time, but now, because I'm where I'm wired, I can't get away from the outcomes. I just believe that what you do in terms of the most wacky context has to drive towards some kind of product that I want to, that feeds into big agendas that do well by our children, because it's their one chance at school. So it can't be woolying off the edges. It's got to have a relationship between context and outcomes. And that's where the pedagogy inform. We know about pedagogy, but I see creative learning as a complete magpie. Pedagogically, it should be stealing from drama, art, cooperative learning. Anyone, some of you may have lived the critical skills program, but go back and find it if you haven't. It's great. All right, very joined up approach to progressive learning. Clearly, more obvious things like assessment for learning. What the forms of learning are? Well, that's how many forms are there? I've been doing animation with those CMAP kids this week, following on from this. They're doing their stories in animated form, but it could be iMovie, it could be stories, it could be a bunch of sums, it could be design a stadium, digging your maths outcomes, whatever. Right? That's where the fun is, but if I had to say, if there's one thing you need to put your energy into, it's the context, and that's really what I think about, is the relationship between context and outcomes. Once I get that right, then I'm just putting on all my best practice, all my knowledge and skills from the years about the pedagogy and forms. That turns into a process. You start from the context, you go through learner control, there's some element of co-creation in the classroom, there has to be because we're social beings. Then there's the act of creation, making, whatever you call creativity, and could be problem solving, could be something highly expressive, could be design, it could be, I think creating a new an ideal society is just as creative as drawing a picture, but then it may be both, whatever. You know what I mean? The act of creation has to happen in there at some point. And that then links to interconnecting your outcomes, evaluation, and the cycle begins. And clearly, your outcomes are happening here somewhere when you get into the evaluation phase. And here you go, final thought. This is not me, this is the government in What is Creativity, which is the creative learning plan from a few years ago. I could critique, as I have, this policy document, but there's something in there very powerful. Creativity learning and teaching is the most fulfilling route to both deep learning and a rounded adulthood. Here I stand. All right. It's interesting, the policy. If you get your neoliberal hat on, you could really critique it as being as much about developing the economy. But at heart as well, there's a real progressive learning vision in there. And depending on your politics, you will have your own view on that. Okay? But nevertheless, this is an expression of how core I believe this is. There you go. There's some links. They're on the poster too. I just cut and pasted those off, so don't worry about copying them out. And there's the posters there, and you'll find me, my details on there. I'd love to stay in touch, and, you know, there's me. And as I just said earlier on, to me this is just a beginning. I'm 1 year into a part-time PhD. I had to slow down for a few months because of the process of setting up the business, but I'm picking that up again after Christmas. I'm living this on a day-to-day level. Want to get out there into schools as a teacher in a new way, and make learning a bit more creative to get good outcomes for kids. So there you go. I think I'm running out of time.